Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness or desert road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over there to that guy. Go to his chariot and join him." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news of Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. I like that one. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, you might think that this is a funny passage for someone to be preaching on their final Sunday in a church, and it is. It's not a passage you hear real often about this Ethiopian eunuch. That's really not a topic that we cover a whole lot in church. But this is the final Sunday on John's bridge building sermon series. And so he asked me if I would go ahead and preach on the assigned scripture, and I said, sure. I was a little confused at first how I could bring all of this together, but then the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, this is probably a good idea to have scripture assigned to me so that I don't dwell too much on my own situation and I can really kind of unpack this scripture. But then the more I started looking at the scripture, of course, then I could relate it to myself, so I can do both. But I thought first we would take a look at the passage and really figure out what's going on, what's happening, who the actors are in this. First, who's Philip? This is not Philip the disciple. Remember, there was one of the 12 disciples named Philip. But we scholars have figured out through different passages that this is a different Philip. This Philip was one of the 7 deacons that were appointed by the apostles after Jesus' death. The apostles were in Jerusalem, and their numbers were growing. We hear that Peter goes out, and he's preaching, and John, and day by day, more and more followers are becoming followers of Christ, followers of the way. And pretty soon, it's a huge number, a huge crowd, and among this crowd are a lot of poor people. Because the message of Jesus Christ was very appealing to the poor, and especially widows, a lot of widows and orphans. And the disciples, the apostles, were trying to take care of them. But finally, the job got to be too big and too great, and so they decided that they would appoint 7 men among them to be called deacons, who would be responsible for serving the poor. They would be responsible for taking the food that was served at communion, because originally communion was a meal. There was bread and there was wine, but there was a meal with it too. They would take the leftovers from the meal and go out and serve them to the widows and the orphans and the poor in their community. And so Philip was one of those first 7 deacons, along with Stephen. You may have heard the stories of Stephen that was appointed. It's kind of curious to note that I am a deacon. I am an ordained deacon in the United Methodist Church. It's a different order of ordination than an elder, which is what Pastor John and Pastor David are. They're appointed to lead. I'm appointed to serve. And so, in a way, it is kind of fitting that I talk about this servant of Christ on my final Sunday. So that's what Philip is doing, and he's serving the poor, but as he serves them, he's explaining to them who Christ was, what Christ has done, a little bit of, you know, a teaching along the way as he's serving. And then we hear in this story that the Holy Spirit comes to him and says, you need to go to this road. I'm sure he doesn't know why. He doesn't know what he's being called to do. He just goes there. He is a wonderful servant of God where he goes where he is called. And there he sees on the road the Ethiopian eunuch, who has apparently no name. We don't know his name. And apparently that wasn't the important part of the story. But it was important for the writer of Acts to tell us about this man. He was from Ethiopia. He was a foreigner. He was a stranger. Not only was he just a foreigner, but he probably looked very different. He was Ethiopian. He was a different race than the people in Jerusalem. So he was an outsider in terms of race and nationality. He was, we're told, the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia, which means that he had a very high position in their government. He was riding in a chariot. He was wealthy. He was probably very wealthy, as opposed to these Christians who were ragtag bunch of former fishermen and peasants and farmers and a tax collector or two thrown in. Very different socioeconomic stratus than the apostles and the disciples and Philip. We don't know what Philip was prior to being called as a deacon, but this was probably someone that he had never talked to or spoken much with. He wouldn't have had a reason day to day to talk to someone this powerful. So the Ethiopian was an outsider, was different in terms of his socioeconomic class. And then there's this issue of being a eunuch. I promise I will not go into details on that, nor will we have a demonstration today. but he was different in terms of his sexuality. He was different in terms of gender. He was altogether different. This was not a person that Philip normally would have been speaking to. This really isn't a person that any of the Christian community would have been speaking to. But he heard a call from God. He heard a call from God to go down to this road, and as he was standing or sitting beside this road, he saw a chariot come by, and he heard something. He heard scripture. It says that the Ethiopian was reading the prophet Isaiah. And one thing I've learned is that reading in those days was an oral thing. People read out loud. Even if they were by themselves, normally they would read out loud. Probably because it was a communal thing. Probably because most people couldn't read. Philip himself was probably illiterate. Most of the disciples were illiterate. They were fishermen. They were farmers. They were workmen. They would have had no reason. I heard on NPR, they were interviewing a guy who had written a book recently about Jesus. And he was claiming that Jesus himself was probably illiterate for the same reason. Now, I don't know if I'll go that far, because we do have points in the scripture where Jesus reads in the synagogue. And so was that added later? You know, we don't know. But this guy was saying that only about 1% of the population was literate at the time. And those were the priests, the scribes, and the government officials. And this man obviously was a government official, and he could read. So he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip hears and recognizes. Philip would have learned the entire Torah by listening. There are still places in the world, especially in the Islam tradition, where children learn the entire Quran by memorization and listening. It's very difficult to do, but it's not impossible. And that's the way they would have learned scripture back then, being illiterate. So Philip recognized what he was hearing, knew what he was hearing, and he knew that this must be what God had called me to do. I can only imagine that he was a little frightened, a little hesitant to go up to this chariot, to approach this person who was so different from himself. He probably, we don't know, but the Ethiopian probably was surrounded by guards and military and soldiers if he was so important. But Philip did it. He went up and he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" It wasn't a rude question. It was a question that Philip knew he had the answer to. Do you know what you're reading? Do you know who that's about? Do you know what that's saying to you? And the Ethiopian says, "Well, no, how could I? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Is this Isaiah talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else?" And Philip said, "It's the Messiah. Isaiah's talking about the Messiah. Can I tell you about the Messiah?" So he climbs aboard the chariot and he spends some time with him explaining to the Ethiopian how he, as a follower of Christ — they weren't called Christians yet — as a follower of the way, he understood the Messiah to be Jesus Christ. The Messiah has come, the Messiah has suffered, the Messiah has died, the Messiah has risen. This is what Isaiah was talking about. And apparently, Philip is so convincing that the Ethiopian immediately sees a river, sees a stream, and says, "Hey, there's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized?" Not an idle question, because he was not like any of them. He was different from all of them. He probably had heard about these Christians. If he had been in Jerusalem any time, maybe he had heard about them. A ragtag group of radicals. This Jesus guy was crucified as a criminal. But I'm different from you. Can I still be baptized? I'm a foreigner. I'm a different race. I'm rich and powerful. I'm different sexually than you are. Is there anything to prevent me from being baptized? And Philip says, "No. Absolutely nothing can prevent someone from coming to Christ. Absolutely nothing can separate someone from Christ. Absolutely nothing can prevent him from being baptized and accepting Christ for himself." Paul says that again, over and over again, but especially in Romans. In Romans 2:11, Paul says, "God shows no partiality." God doesn't care. If you truly come to love Christ and know Christ and understand Christ, you are accepted. You are part of the family. You're part of it all. God chose Philip and God chose the Ethiopian for particular purposes, no matter what they looked like, sounded like, dressed like, talked like. God chose them. God chooses each of us. The other interesting thing or important thing I think about this Ethiopian is he was searching. He was already searching for something. Remember, he was from Ethiopia, from North Africa. They were not Jewish. He was not Jewish. And yet he was reading the Jewish scriptures. And yet he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was what the Jews called a God-fearer, which fear did not mean being afraid as much as being in awe of. Fearing the Lord means be in awe of the Lord, be amazed by the Lord, be impressed by the Lord. This was a God-fearer, not a Jew, because you had to be born a Jew, but he respected and was intrigued by this God of the Jews, this God that is all-powerful, this God that is all-loving, this God that is in supreme command over all things. It was intriguing to him. It fit in better than what the gods of his home country were telling him. It made sense. He wanted to figure it out. So he came to Jerusalem and worshipped. Although, you know, as a eunuch, he was not allowed anywhere near the temple. Because in the Jewish culture, he was unclean. He was unfit. He was impure. If you go back and read in the Old Testament and all the Leviticus laws, if there's anything like that wrong with someone, they are not allowed anywhere near the Holy of Holies. And yet he was persistent. He knew that somehow God was calling him. He may not have really understood what it was, but he was searching. He was searching for meaning. He was searching for maybe purpose, for something in his life that was missing, because we're all searching for that, no matter who we are, what walk of life we are, what we look like, where we've been, where we're going. Somehow we're all searching. All of us have come here today because you're searching for something. It may be community. It may be a deeper relationship with God. It may be understanding what this whole Christianity business is about. But we're all searching in our own way. So it's interesting to ask then, who do you identify with in this story? I do that a lot when I read scripture. I say, okay, well, who am I identifying with? Who am I in this story? Am I Philip, the deacon, who has been called to serve God, who's been called to share what the church has with others, who's been called to teach others about what it means to love God, who follows where God calls, even when you don't know where you're going to end up? I think I'm a lot like Philip, especially as I know that I'm now being called to a place very far away, where I will be a stranger, where I will be an outsider, where I will be different. So I guess that makes me like the Ethiopian too. I've lived most of my life as an insider. I was raised in the church. I lived in a community where I was the majority, where I fit in perfectly. I spoke the right language. I looked the right way. I went to the right schools. I never had to experience being an outsider. But you know what? Now I'm going to a country that is minority Christian, that is increasingly being majority minority, similar to our country. I don't know the customs. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There's a lot of unknown, but I just know that God is calling me to something. I'm searching for something. So I can see myself in both of these people. You probably can see yourself in both of these also. Sometimes you feel really called and you know what you're supposed to be doing and you're on the inside and you're on the right track and you know this is what God wants me to do. And yet other times you may be the outsider, whether you're new at a church. This might be your first time to come here. You don't know what we do in worship. You don't know what we do after the service. You don't know the Sunday school classes. You don't know people's names. You may be new at school. School's starting for a lot of kids. You may be going away to college for the first time. You may be starting middle school or high school. You may start a new job. First day on the job when you really don't even know where the files are. You don't know where anything is. We've all felt like that Ethiopian before. But God calls us. One quick word about being an outsider. It was funny, when John first asked me to preach on my last Sunday, I thought, oh great, I can say everything I've always wanted to say. I could go all Jerry Maguire on you. But I'm not going to do that. But I was thinking of something in terms of this story that I did want to put in your mind, let people know. Every week, as a pastor here at the church, we get calls from folks in the community who would like to come visit, who are interested in coming to visit our church and visit our worship. But before they come visit, they want to call to see if they would fit in, to see if they would be accepted, to see if it's okay if they come to our church. It may be because they are a different race. I've had those calls. It may be they were brought up in a different faith, and they don't really understand the Methodist traditions and ways of doing things. It might be because they look a little different, piercings and tattoos and things like that. And I say, feel free. You can even come to celebration service if you want. You don't. We don't just put tattooed people over in the bridge service. Increasingly, it's because of their gender identity and their sexual orientation. They want to know if they're going to be accepted, if they're going to be welcomed, if their kids are going to be welcomed. And the reason all of these folks are asking this is because at some point they have not been welcomed. At some point, they have been rejected. At some point, they were told, you are not welcome here and you are not accepted here, whether that was at a church or at a school, at somewhere in their life, they have been told that you're not like us and we really don't want you here. And I tell them that is absolutely not what you're going to hear at this church. At this church, you are going to be welcomed. You are going to be accepted. You are going to be made to feel like you are part of the family. And I don't want anybody to make me out to be a liar. I know and trust and have faith that this is a faith community that is open to everybody. And that is what I want to leave you with as I go. As I become the outsider, I'm even afraid to go to church in England. I've been to worship services in England, and they're really weird, and I don't know when to stand up and when to sit down, and I do not know any of the hymns. And so I know that this is really going to be a growth and learning experience for me on what it feels like to be the new kid and the outsider. But I leave you with that thought, just that this is a great church. This is a wonderful place to grow in faith, to make friends, to be in fellowship with one another. And I want everyone who comes in the door of this church to be able to experience that. So I invite all of you, individually and in your small groups and everything, to try and be as welcoming as possible, to remember what it felt like when you were new, and to open your doors, open your arms for other people, because this church is going to be growing. This church is going to be a community center for McKinney. And I want us to be known as a welcoming and accepting place to be, because I know that you have welcomed me and my family and accepted us with open arms. So I am leaving you today, but I know that this is, as John has been saying, a bridge building place. And you have to build a really big bridge to get from here to London, but it's possible to do, and I have left my email, and join me on Facebook and whatever you want to do, but stay in touch. And God bless you all, and I thank God for you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.